The following resource is from lmpc.org, and we're delighted to provide it freely to all. If you feel led to give towards the ministry of Lookout Mountain Presbyterian Church, we welcome you to do so at lmpc.org/give.
Please stand for a reading from Acts chapter 28, verses 17 through 31. 3 days later, he called together the leaders of the Jews. When they had assembled, Paul said to them, "My brothers, although I have done nothing against our people or against the customs of our ancestors, I was arrested in Jerusalem and handed over to the Romans. They examined me and wanted to release me because I was not guilty of any crime deserving death. But when the Jews objected, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar, not that I had any charge to bring against my own people. For this reason, I have asked to see you and talk with you. It is because of the hope of Israel that I am bound with this chain." They replied, "We have not received any letters from Judea concerning you, and none of the brothers who have come from there has reported or said anything bad about you. But we want to hear what your views are, for we know that people everywhere are talking against this sect." They arranged to meet Paul on a certain day and came in even larger numbers to the place where he was staying. From morning till evening, he explained and declared to them the kingdom of God and tried to convince them about Jesus from the law of Moses and from the prophets. Some were convinced by what he said, but others would not believe. They disagreed among themselves and began to leave after Paul had made this final statement: "The Holy Spirit spoke the truth to your forefathers when he said through Isaiah the prophet, 'Go to this people and say, you will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. Therefore, I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will listen." For 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. Boldly and without hindrance, he preached the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated.
Thanks, Mac, for reading, and I add my welcome to Aaron's. It's great to see you here, and we're eagerly awaiting, looking forward to some of those changes that will come in the next weeks as we begin to see how God can move us to the next steps of opening up and various things. But I want to remind you that what you just sang, "Jesus, thou joy of loving hearts," in case you don't notice from time to time, you just sang the words from 1150, the year 1150. The reason I point that out, it has a lot to do with what we're studying this morning. The church will go on and on and on. That's the point of Acts. The church will continue through all the ages unto eternity. And no threat, no fear, no persecution can thwart Christ's bride. So when you sing those hymns, notice the dates when you're singing throughout the centuries. It is a great encouragement to our hearts. This morning we wrap up a series we began in 2019. Let me fix my mic here. It's hanging. I'm going to put it in my pocket. 2019, August, we began Acts chapter 1. And now we come to the last part of Acts. Let's pray that God speaks to us this morning. Let's pray. Our Lord, we thank you that we do sing anthems and hymns throughout the ages. It gives us hope in this year 2021 that we are not alone, that you are faithful to your people, and that nothing can stand against the church. We give you that praise. We thank you for how we've seen that in Acts. We ask that this morning you would give us insight into your word, that your spirit would come. And as we see so clearly through the book of Acts of how you use preaching powerfully, and it is a central means in the church. Would you use it now? In Christ's name, amen. So before there was Netflix or Hulu or Plus, everything's Plus now. I'm thinking we might have an LMPC Plus someday. You know, I don't know what it would include, but everything's Plus. I don't even know how to get what you want to watch what you need. Before all that, there was this thing called regular TV that you had to get up and turn the channel, and then maybe you got a remote later on. But part of regular TV is you couldn't rush through an entire series. There was no binge watching. There was this thing called waiting. Those dreadful words that came across the screen, to be continued. And listen to this. Sometimes you had to wait a whole week or maybe a summer to find out who shot JR. Those words, to be continued, may not be familiar to us now, but they are very familiar in entertainment of years past. And I bring that up because I believe Luke's ending is to be continued. And I believe that because of that ending, some of you will be disappointed with the lack of resolution that you feel after a binge watch. But I want you to know that this is intentional on Luke's part. We want to know the full end of the story. Perhaps you're a little disappointed with the landing. Did Paul ever testify before Caesar? Did Paul get out of this house arrest to do more mission? And how did he get arrested again? And could you tell me about when he died by the sword? All those things we understand, but you kind of want Luke to wrap it all up and put a bow on it. And why doesn't he end with all those details? Why not give us the full end of the story? And I'll tell you, it's because of this. We are the continuation of that story. That's why he ends the way he does. We are the continuation of the story of the church that is unstoppable and will end in triumph. We are the continuation of the story, the church in the world, boldly and without hindrance, proclaiming the word of God and advancing the kingdom of God. Now, I didn't say boldly and without trouble. Boldly and without hindrance, we are the to be continued. So as the church furthers the mission of God through bold proclamation, let us understand that the message of Christ will need explanation, will cause division, and will never be silenced. First, it will need explanation. In verses 17 through 23, we read that 3 days later, he called together the leaders of the Jews. And when they had assembled, Paul said to them, "My brothers, although I've done nothing against our people or against the customs of our ancestors, I was arrested in Jerusalem and handed over to the Romans. They examined me and wanted to release me because I was not guilty of any crime deserving death. But when the Jews objected, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar. Not that I had any charge to bring against my own people." Just that little comment you learn of Paul's amazing forgiving love. Not that I had anything against you guys, even though I've ran for my life and been persecuted and beaten, but I didn't hold that against you. I'm here. I've called you into the house arrest because I want to speak the gospel to you. He goes on to say in verse 20, "For this reason I have asked to see you and talk with you. It is because of the hope of Israel that I am bound with this chain." And they say, "Well, we haven't received any letters. Actually, nobody has told us here in Rome of this scandal in Jerusalem." Why? I believe the Jewish leaders began to think they had no case in Rome. So why alert the Jews in Rome? And they say this, "We haven't heard anything bad about you. But we do want to hear what your views are, for we know that people everywhere are talking against this sect." And so they arranged to meet Paul on a certain day, and they came in even larger numbers to the place where he was staying. And from morning till evening, he explained and declared to them the kingdom of God and tried to convince them about Jesus from the law of Moses and from the prophets. As the church furthers the mission of God through bold proclamation, the message of Christ will, understand this, it will always need explanation. It will always need the church to be explaining what the Bible says about the person of Jesus. These who come into this house arrest where Paul is, they say, we want to hear what your views are. We want to hear about this connection of this kingdom of God with Jesus Christ. And I want you to remember, Jesus taught about the kingdom. It is referenced 61 times in the Gospels. It was the message of Jesus, the message of the kingdom of God. And it began, Acts, all the way back to 2019. Remember chapter 1, verse 3. Jesus appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about what? The kingdom of God. And Acts ends with verse 31. Boldly and without hindrance, he preached the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ. So Acts begins with Jesus preaching the kingdom. It ends with Paul preaching the kingdom. And it continues with us preaching the kingdom of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? Well, that was the question the Jews had that gathered in the house. What do you mean by that? And I want to maybe imagine for a moment what Paul's teaching might have sounded like. What Paul might have done with these who knew the Bible. This is what it might have sounded like to explain his views. First, you remember in Genesis, right? You know Moses. He wrote that where he established human beings to have dominion over the earth. Do you remember that? To rule over the spaces he put us in and bring the reign of God to that space. That he put us in the garden to be his workers as he rules. Do you remember that in Genesis? And then do you remember in Exodus? When he liberated a people from the bondage of slavery, and then he gave them this good gift of law so that among all people, they could be the people that showed off what God's like. And do you remember in 1 Samuel or 2 Samuel where there was the establishment of a promised dynasty through the line of David that will never pass away? Do you remember that? Do you remember that statement, that promise to David? That the kingship from the line of David would be the strategy that God would use to bring his rule to earth. You remember that hope? And then he might reach to Isaiah and say, you remember Isaiah 9? Unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. The government. This son is a ruler. And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be what? No end. You remember that in Isaiah? And do you remember Daniel chapter 7? Do you remember that when he spoke of this ruler, this figure who rules over Babylon and the Persians and the Greeks and the Romans and who is seen as ruling over the entire world? Do you remember what his name was? Son of Man. Let me tell you about Jesus. His preferred self-designation was Son of Man. Mark in his gospel writes, for the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. I'm telling you guys in this house arrest moment, Jesus is the Son of Man spoken of in Daniel. He's the Son spoken of in Isaiah. He's David's greater son from 2 Samuel. He's the better Moses that lets us understand the law. And if that's not enough, guys, do you remember Jesus' first sermon in Luke 4 when he came in the temple? This happened. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then Jesus rolled the scroll up and he gave it back to the attendant and he sat down, and the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began by saying to them this, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. He said it. I'm the one the prophet spoke of. I'm the, as Paul says in verse 20, I'm the hope of Israel. And if that wasn't enough, Jesus said two really remarkable things. In John 5, he said, if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. Wait, I've never seen Jesus' name in Exodus. It's because it all points to him. So the resurrected Jesus on the road to Emmaus in Luke chapter 24, it says, in beginning with Moses and all the prophets, which is shorthand for all of the scriptures, he began to explain to them everything that was said to him that in the scriptures concerned himself. In other words, Jesus said, it's all pointing to me. Maybe that's what it sounded like. Morning till evening, with a lot more places following the trace of the story. And in that moment, what Paul announces is what Jesus proclaimed. The kingdom of God is at hand in the person of Jesus, Son of Man, Son of David. Good news. Why is it good news? Because the mission is the kingdom of God. And here's the mission of the kingdom of God. I want to give a two-part quote from Brian Fickert that really makes it clear. The first part is this. The kingdom of God is more than personal salvation. It's more. It is the rule and the reign of God in Jesus by his Spirit coming down to earth through his people in every realm, in every sphere. That's why the kingdom has something to say about vocation and economics and politics and family. The kingdom of God is about bringing the dominion of God to every domain you live in. Way more than personal salvation. But, as Fickert says, without personal salvation in Christ alone, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. So it's never less. That's what Paul would have spoken of. Dominion of God in Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit coming to hit every domain of our lives. Is that how you view the gospel? The gospel of the kingdom. So who do you share this with? You share it to the people that you're closest to and even those that are farthest from you. What do I mean? Paul, who did Paul start with in house arrest? The guard. The captive audience. He's chained to him. They come in every 4 hours and rotate. And Paul either is always teaching somebody or probably talking to them. We know that. Paul wrote Philippians during this 2-year house arrest. Here's what he said. The gospel has become clear throughout the whole palace guard. The kingdom of God is invading the kingdom of Caesar from the house arrest up. Why? Because Paul started with those closest to him, literally chained. But he also explained it to those farthest. Because in this two-year house arrest, he writes Philippians, he writes Ephesians, he writes Galatians, he writes Colossians. This is his mission, the kingdom of God, and making it plain and clear to all who will listen. Who is it around you that needs you to explain these realities to them? That the kingdom of God is more than personal salvation, but you cannot enter it without salvation in Christ alone. Who needs that explanation? From the youngest to the oldest. And you need it. I need it every day. Where will you get it? So as the church furthers the mission of God through bold proclamation, the message of Christ will also cause division. Two things I want us to hear in this section. First, don't be surprised by division, and don't be burdened by results. Just look, 24 through 28. Some were convinced by what he said, but others would not believe. Just Luke, matter of fact, doctor. Some believed, some didn't. That would have been a remarkable moment to be in that house arrest to watch people get converted after Paul explaining the kingdom of God, but it says they disagreed among themselves and they began to leave after Paul had made his final statement. So, there's disagreement, there's division, people are leaving early, people are saying I'm not coming back, people are saying I've heard this is a crazy sect. There'll be division, there'll be dissension, some will believe, some won't. And Paul says, here's why. Verse 25, the Holy Spirit spoke the truth to your forefathers when he said through Isaiah the prophet, which by the way is just that one line as a doctrine of Scripture. The Holy Spirit spoke through Isaiah. Okay? Verse 26, go to this people and say, you will be ever hearing but never understanding, never seeing, never perceiving. This people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. Yes, Jesus speaks a message of peace, but that message creates division between those who believe and do not believe. Some will believe, and they will find the gospel as the aroma of life. Some will not, seeing it as the stench of death. But what Paul cites here as the reason for this is Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah's commission into ministry. Isaiah 6, these verses Paul cites, that is the most cited Old Testament reference in the New Testament. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Ears cannot hear. Your ears are going to get harder, dull hearts, deaf ears, blind eyes. The most cited Old Testament text in the New Testament is one that warns us about hearing the gospel with soft hearts. There are only two things that happen when you hear preaching. You either soften or harden. Two realities. If your heart is hardened by the preaching of the word, you actually hear it and your heart is hardened and you suppress the truth further into wickedness, or you soften your heart before God by the power of the Holy Spirit. And Paul says that's what's going on. You're hearing the gospel and it's actually hardening your hearts. That was the commission to Isaiah. Go tell and preach for all these years, and I only tell you this, God said to Isaiah, everyone's going to get worse and not listen to a word you say. And then I bet Isaiah was like, I really didn't mean that, here I am, send me part. That's not really the gig I was looking for. But proclamation either hardens or softens. Be careful. When you hear preaching, when you hear proclamation, to keep alive unto Christ, ask yourself, what do you want of me, Jesus, in light of what you just spoke? Don't harden. But secondly, don't be burdened by the results. Pay attention to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's the one that softens hearts. Our work is the seed. Holy Spirit's work is the soil. Don't mess around. Don't worry about the soil. That's not your job. That's not our job. Our job is to scatter seed. The Spirit will soften the soil. But we do have to pay attention to the Holy Spirit, because sometimes he's working in places and sometimes he's not. And so Paul closes it in 28 and says, therefore, I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles and they will listen. That's Paul going like this. I'm going where the Spirit's working. I've done it. I've spoken to you. You know the truth. I love you. I told you that. I have no objection against you. But I'm going to follow the Spirit's lead. And so sometimes it is wise to not be burdened by results, but to follow the Spirit and say, Lord, it breaks my heart that there's division in this belief and the unbelief. But I've got to move on to where the Spirit is working. Keep praying. Keep trusting God will bring opportunities for those, but sometimes you've got to follow where the Spirit is working. Last, I would say this, as the church furthers the mission of God through bold proclamation, the message of Christ will never be silenced. I mean, just read the last verse, or last two verses. For two whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him Boldly and without hindrance, he preached the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ. The end. And you're kind of like, oh, really? Like we were talking about earlier. Isn't this a flat ending? Isn't this a disappointing ending? No, this isn't actually an ending. This is the beginning that will know no end. It's called the church. This is the beginning that knows no end. Thus, he ends it this way. The church with the Word of God central in its mission, advancing the kingdom, will know no end. So why does he end like this? I'll tell you why. First, Luke wants to end with preaching ringing in our ears. Verse 31. Boldly, without hindrance, he preached. The prominence of preaching, the place of preaching, is at the heart of the church's mission. 30% of Acts is about preaching. Preaching is at the heart of the mission of the church. Dennis Johnson says this about preaching. Preaching is the Spirit's scalpel that cuts through our mental clutter and distracted impatience to remove infection of the heart and bring healing. That scalpel is necessary to the mission of the church. What is happening in this moment is different from a lecture. God, by his Spirit, through his Word, is putting a scalpel on your heart to heal you. It's his designed means. Come to the doctor. That's what's happening when you come to church. So Acts ends in this way, not because it desires to elevate preachers above all else, not because it desires preaching as the ultimate vocation, no. What it's elevating is every one of our need for preaching. One of my favorite things about our team preaching model is I get to listen to preaching. That's good. We all need the preaching of God's Word. It is central to the mission of God. And so you hear this repetitive refrain throughout Acts. And it ends here with a great crescendo, but it really begins something that has no end. Just listen to Luke's refrain, Acts 6:7. So the word of God was growing, and the number of disciples in Jerusalem was multiplying exceedingly. Acts 12:24, expanding to Judea and Samaria, the word of God was growing and being multiplied. Acts 13:49 in Pisidia, the word of the Lord was permeating the whole region. I love that verb, permeating. Acts 19:20, the word of the Lord was powerfully exerting strength. These are the refrains of Luke until he ends with, boldly and without hindrance, he preached. Acts opens with Jesus teaching. It closes with Paul teaching. And it continues with the church preaching the good news of the kingdom. This is the beginning that knows no end. I close with this. In a business article reflecting on the recent ice storm and shutdown of Houston, former Shell Oil President Hoffmeister said this, "Rolling blackouts, people sleeping in their cars to stay warm, is something you would expect to hear in a third world country, not in the United States of America. Even worse, it's happening in the energy capital of the world, Houston." Why there was no power in the energy capital of America is a whole different conversation. What I'm pointing out is that the power capital was powerless. That's the ending of Acts. At the end of Acts, Paul's in house arrest in the heart of the Roman Empire, the power capital of the world, and they are powerless. The power capital of the world, the Roman Empire, is rendered powerless. Powerless to stop the gospel. And so Paul writes in 2 Timothy, in his second imprisonment in Rome, he writes, though he himself was in chains, the word of God is not bound. The power capital of the world at that time, Rome, is rendered powerless in the face of the powerful church by the Spirit. And so I was reminded of a part of a sermon that was included in the PBS special called The Black Church, where Reverend Otis Moss is powerfully preaching. And he says this: never confuse position with power. Pharaoh had a position, but Moses had the power. Herod had a position, but John had the power. The cross had a position, but Jesus has the power. Never confuse position with power. And that's the ending of Acts. Church, never confuse position with power. Caesar had the position, but Paul and the church has the power. Rome and all the kingdoms of this world have a position, but church, we have power in the Spirit and in His Word. So boldly and without hindrance, let us live in love. Let us share and serve. Let us give and go. Amen. Let us pray. Praise to you, the church's foundation, the author and perfecter of our faith, the faithful groom of the church, your bride. Cast away our fear. Cast away our fear of this world, our fear of being seen as a weird sect. Cast away our fear of there being division. Cast away our fear that somehow our mission will fail. Give us faith. Give us faith. Help us not confuse position with power. No matter what position of the world threatens this church, we have power by the Spirit and the Word. So boldly and without hindrance, Lord Jesus, help us preach and go. In Christ's name, amen.